بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so in our previous classes, alhamdulillah, we have discussed some of the important details with regards to the affair of at-takfir and declaring a Muslim to be a disbeliever and declaring an individual specifically to have invalidated his Islam and invalidated his Shahada and to have been exited and left from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have seen that this is a dangerous affair and that there are many details with regards to this issue. And this is something that is not light. And in reality, this is something that must be given great concern and great care, and one must not hasten to delve into these rulings, but rather what is required is for this ruling of at-takfir to be established based upon knowledge and based upon justice, not based upon ignorance and oppression, but rather upon al-ilm wal-adl, based upon knowledge established from in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and likewise with justice in the proper manner and in the proper way, not with desires and whims or not with doubts and suspicion. So many of the issues with regards to this and those conditions and the mawani', this has proceeded, alhamdulillah. So in our class this evening, we will take a summarization of that which has preceded. Al-khulasa lima sabaqa min ad-durus at-tamhidiyya. We will take the summarization of that which has preceded. And I have written down a few points. And this is in order to facilitate the learning and to make it easy to understand. And it is a summarization of that which has preceded. And the first point or issue that we want to remember is that at-takfir hukmun shar'i. At-takfir hukmun shar'i, that to declare a Muslim to have disbelieved and to declare an individual to be a disbeliever, this is a legislative ruling. This is a legislative ruling, and it cannot be established with ignorance and oppression and desires, but rather it can only be established by way of certain knowledge and in a manner with justice and not with oppression. So therefore, based upon that, we see that this ruling, the ruling of a takfir, the takfir of a specific individual or a group of individuals specifically, this is not taken from the layman, nor is it taken from the ignorant, nor is it taken from those people who ascribe to knowledge, but they're unknown, their reality is unknown. Nor is it taken from the people who are ascribing to knowledge, but it is known that they have been misguided and that they are following a methodology contrary to the methodology of Ahl-Sunnah, or they have a creed that is contrary to the creed of Ahl-Sunnah. These rulings are not taken from the likes of these people. And likewise, these rulings, the rulings of at-takfir, and the rulings that are related to the blood and the honor and the wealth of the Muslims, and the likes like this, these rulings, they are not taken from the small students of knowledge. They're not taken from sigar al-talaba, or from the mashayikh, and from the people of knowledge, whom no doubt we benefit from. We benefit from the students of knowledge who are upright, and from the mashayikh likewise, that are good and call to at-tawheed wa sunnah, and they call to as-salafiyya and the likes, and they call to the good way. Alhamdulillah, we benefit from them, but these affairs here, هذه الأحكام المتعلقة بدماء المسلمين, these rulings that are related to the blood of the Muslims, وأعراضهم وأموالهم, and their honor and the reputation of the Muslims, and likewise the wealth of the Muslims, this is not entrusted to the small students of knowledge and to the mashayikh, but rather this is entrusted to العلماء الربانيين, الراسخين في العلم, those people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, those upright scholars who are known for their proper and correct creed, and they are known for being steadfast upon the proper manhaj and methodology, the scholars of the people of the Sunnah, the upright and elderly scholars, not just anyone, even if he's upright from the students of knowledge or from the mashayikh, these affairs here are not returned back to the likes of those people. Rather, they are only turned back to the major scholars, the scholars who their beards have gone have become gray with knowledge, and they have knowledge and also they have experience. They have knowledge and also they have experience with the knowledge. So therefore, they're the ones who these affairs, the likes of these affairs, are entrusted to, and we take the rulings from them. And they're the ones who determine the matter. And they're the ones who have the knowledge and the ability and the experience to do that. And they understand the rulings. And they rule with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. And they rule with justice. Therefore, these rulings are taken from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, and He says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَذَعُوا بِهِ. And when there comes to them, some of the people, a matter touching public safety or fear, they make it known among the people, meaning they spread it, and they hasten to spread it and to speak about it. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And had only they referred it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or to those charged with authority among them. And here, referring it back to the people of knowledge. Referring it back to the people of knowledge. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Then the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. And the people of knowledge, they have the ability to derive the ruling from this issue. So when information comes that's related to the affairs of public safety and fear, and the blood of the Muslims in general, and their wealth and property, and their honor and reputation, these are affairs that are referred back to the scholars that have the ability to derive the ruling from the situation. To the scholars and to the people of knowledge who are firmly grounded and upright and steadfast in knowledge and in experience, and have become old with this knowledge, and carrying that banner of knowledge and ilm, and the banner of the sunnah, and the proper creed, and the proper etiquettes and manners and behavior, these are the ones that are these issues are referred back to. They have the ability to derive the proper ruling. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned after this, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed shaitan, except for a few of you. Therefore, what is obligatory in these major affairs and these great affairs that are related to the blood of the Muslims and to the Islam of a believer and to his blood and his wealth and his property and his reputation and his honor, then these affairs, they must be referred back to al-ulama al-rabbaniin, to ahlil ilm al-rasikhin, the upright and solid and firmly grounded people of knowledge. And in reality, we see likewise that those who turn away from referring these affairs back to the upright and solid major scholars, upright and firmly grounded major scholars, then in reality, these people, they are following shaitan. And they have fallen into the traps, into the snares of shaitan. And this is what is referred to in this noble verse in Surah An-Nisa. So therefore, the first point is to understand that this is an Islamic ruling, and this is a legislative ruling, and it must be based upon knowledge and not ignorance, and it must be based upon justice, not upon oppression and desires. The second point in summarization of that which has proceeded from these introductory classes, الأحكام الشرعية لها شروط يجب استفاؤها وموانع يجب انتفاؤها. And this is a very important point. And this has preceded likewise that the legislative rulings and regulations, they have conditions. They have conditions that must be fulfilled. They must be present. And likewise, they have prohibitors, mawani, things that could prohibit the ruling from being applied to a specific individual. They must be removed. And this is in general. So if that is the case, and that it is known that the Islamic rulings in general, al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legislative rulings in general, they have conditions that must be fulfilled, and they have mawani, likewise, that must be removed, then how could somebody who does not even know the conditions of wudu, and the nawaqid of wudu, he doesn't even know the conditions of a salah, for example, and the mubtilat as-salah, the invalidators of salat, how could he delve into this issue and declare this ruler and that ruler to be a disbeliever? And those who are following this ruler or the army of this ruler and that ruler, they're disbelievers. Or this whole society, they're disbelievers. Or that individual, he disbelieved. Or that person over there, he's a kafir. How could he delve into these issues and he himself, he does not even know the conditions of salah? Or he does not even know the invalidators of wudu properly? If you were to ask him, give me the condition of Salah, how many conditions are there? How many? Just give me the number. Many of them, they will not be able to say that. If you say, if he mentioned one condition, khalas, give me the proof for that from the Quran or from the Sunnah. They will not be able to do that in these affairs that are considered from the assas and the foundation, ومن مبادي, من مبادي العلم, from the foundations of knowledge. And then he wants to leave all of this knowledge, and he does not know these conditions, nor these invalidators of wudu and tahara and salat and the likes, and how to make ghusl properly from janabah and the likes like this. And then he's going to delve into the affairs and into the issues that are related to the blood of the Muslims and declare individuals to be disbelievers. This is foolishness, and this is ignorance. This is foolishness, and this is ignorance. And the people of knowledge, they have a beautiful statement with regards to this, and they would say, Rahimallah, Rahimallahu imra'an arafa qadra nafsihi. May Allah have mercy on an individual who knows the level, who knows his own level, who knows his own reality. And a person, he has to know his limits. He has to know who he is. He shouldn't put himself in a position that is greater than that, or think that he has more knowledge than he has, or think that he has a higher rank than he has. La, a person, he knows his limits. A person who does not know the legislation, he will not speak. A person, he knows the legislation, he will speak according to what he knows. In this manner like this, a person, he has to know qadr nafsihi, the ability, his own ability and his own limits and where he belongs, and not transgress those limits. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows this, as the people of knowledge they mention. Therefore, this issue here is clear now, and it goes back to that first point, and that is that the affair of a takfir, and in reality, the affair of all of the issues and the rulings of al-Islam, they go back to the people of knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So likewise, the third point in summarization of the previous classes, we see that the Salaf, رحمهم الله تعالى, and the ulama that are upon their way, they يفرقون بين وصف القول أو الفعل بأنه كفر وبين تنزيل الحكم على المعين. That they, no doubt, they differentiate between the statement or describing a statement and action as disbelief, and between applying that ruling to a specific person. And they used to say, for example, in the times of the trials of the foul statement that the Quran is created, in the time of Imam Ahmad, who died in the year 241, he was from those generations, rahmatullahi alayhi, that they would say, whoever says the Quran is created, faqad kafar, aw fahuwa kafir. Whoever says the Quran is created, then he is a kafir. He's a disbeliever, or he has verily disbelieved. But whenever it came to specific individuals, they were not hasty to apply that on specific individuals. And many of the people in their days who said that statement, they did not declare them to be disbelievers specifically. And from the best examples of that is the rulers in his time, those who beat him, rahimahullah ta'ala, and imprisoned him and lashed him, and they were killing the people of knowledge around him and the likes and torturing them. And he did not make takfir of them. And why were they beating him and torturing him? Because he would not say the Quran is created. And they were saying that, and rather they were forcing that upon the people. So to say that is disbelief. And how, if saying that is disbelief, and how about the one who forces the people to say it and takes al-wala wal-bara' for those who say it? And it's even been mentioned that in those days that the rulers would test the people like that. And even some of the soldiers who were captured in war, they would make a treaty with the enemies, and in this treaty they would get back some of the soldiers, the Muslim soldiers that were captives, and those soldiers or those captives would be asked, and the ones who said that the Quran was created, they would be left and they would be released from captivity. And they were captured, and they were prisoners of war in the hands of the enemy. And the enemy made agreement to give them back, but the rulers would only take those back from them who said the Quran was created, and those who stood fast and said the Quran was not created, and that is the kalam Allah غير مخلوق, they would leave them in captivity in the hands of the enemies. It was a great trial. Along with all of these affairs, they did not declare those rulers to be disbelievers because of the ta'wil that they had and the ignorance that they had with them based upon that. And because of the evil call from the people of knowledge that were around them, yani the evil people of knowledge that were around them, the mubtadi'ah, and the grip that they had on them, and the shubuhat that they presented to them, and the likes like this. So therefore, again, the point is that the Salaf and the people of knowledge who are upright upon the correct path and upon the right way, they differentiate between saying this statement is disbelief and this action is disbelief, and whoever says this or does this, then he disbelieved. They differentiate between that and applying it to a specific individual. So therefore, it goes back to the second and first point, and that is that there are conditions that must be fulfilled and prohibitors that must be removed, and this is in the hands of the people of knowledge. And this is in the hands of the people of knowledge. Also, in summarization, we have the fourth point, and that is the statement of the people of knowledge: أَنَّ مَنْ ثَبَتَ إِسْلَامُهُ بِيَقِينٍ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَرْتَفِعُ عَنْهُ إِلَّا بِيَقِينٍ. That whoever his Islam is established with certainty, and it's well known this man is a Muslim, then that ruling is not removed from him, and his Islam is not removed from him, and he's not declared to have exited and left Islam and fallen into disbelief, except with certainty. And this is based on that great qaida fiqhiyya, أَنَّ الْيَقِينَ لَا يَزُولُ بِالشَّكِّ, that certainty is not removed by doubt. And we have seen many evidences and situations with regards to this, specifically in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, the people of knowledge, they say, فَمَنْ ثَبَتَ إِسْلَامُهُ بِدَلِيلٍ شَرْعِيٍ. So whoever his Islam is established with a legislative proof, and it's known in the deen of Allah that this man is a Muslim, لَا يَجُوزُ رَفْعُ هَذَا الْحُكْمِ إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ شَرْعِيٍ. It is not permissible to remove that ruling from that person, except with a legislative proof. The same way his Islam is established with a legislative proof, and is known amongst the society and amongst the believers that he's a Muslim. Therefore, that ruling is not removed from him except with a legislative proof. And if one were to try to remove that ruling without evidence and proof, then this is from the greatest aspects of al-udwan with dhulm, oppression and transgressing the limits and violating the rights. Also, in summarization, we have the fifth point, and from the affairs that have preceded. And these are very important affairs, and I just summarized them in this class so that it will be summarized and clear, inshallah, for the listeners. And may Allah grant me and all of you beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And may Allah fill our hearts with al-iman, as-sadiq, and allow us and give us success to do al-amal, as-salih, the righteous deeds. So the fifth point is that الناس في هذا الباب ثلاثة أصناف. This is very important likewise to understand, and that the people with regards to this issue, the issue of at-takfir, there are three different categories. The first category, there are those individuals who go to extremes and they violate rights and transgress the limits with regards to at-takfir, at ruling against the people with kufr and disbelief. So there are people like this, and from their characteristics and traits is that they declare everybody to be disbelievers, or they declare any individuals to be disbelievers without even hesitating, without even thinking twice. Come off their tongue easy. Oh, قد كفر هذا فلان كافر. أو هذا الحاكم للبلد الفلاني كافر. Oh, and who كم كافرون كفار. Like, he will just use it without even thinking. He will hear something or see something, and he will not hesitate. He will not verify, and he will not think or even look. He will speak, and he will just declare them to be disbelievers without hesitation. And likewise, these type of individuals, they declare individuals to be disbelievers without fiqh and understanding in the deen. And they declare people to be disbelievers without knowledge and without understanding it and the proper comprehension and understanding and beneficial knowledge in the deen. So these people, they're ignorant and they're upon a foul way. And the head of them are Al-Khawarij, those who came out and opposed and rebelled against Ali radiallahu anhu. And their methodology is present, and they have people inheriting their way all the way into today. Those people who resemble them and follow their way, then they are known, making takfir upon the Muslims without right, making takfir upon the Muslim rulers specifically, and on the Muslims in general, and without right, and without knowledge, and without evidence, and without proof. and without evidence and without proof. The other category, likewise, the second category of the people with regards to at-takfir, they are those people who do not declare anybody to be a disbeliever. And they claim that whoever says the statement La ilaha illallah, then sins will not hurt him. And the one who makes the statement La ilaha illallah, it cannot be invalidated. And that as long as a person, he claims that he has iman, then sins will not hurt his faith and his deen will be safe. And this is the way of the Murji'ah. And they also are from those deviant sects that appeared in the early days of al-Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the spread of al-Islam through the lands, al-Murji'ah. They're the ones who believe that al-Iman is in the heart only, and they take the actions away from al-Iman. And they claim that al-Ma'siyah la tadurru bil-Iman, that sins, they do not hurt a person as long as he has faith. كما أن طاعة لا تنفع بالكفر. They say just like as disbelief or good deeds do not benefit the person who has disbelief, then likewise sins do not harm a person who has iman. And this is a methodology that is false, and this is a methodology that is wrong. And these people, they have inheritors likewise until this day, and people who take it light and take the sins lightly and the likes like this, and they depend upon the mercy of Allah and rely upon the mercy of Allah and the text with regards to the hope and the promise of Allah of mercy and forgiveness. And they completely neglect the text with regards to the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His threat for those who disobey Him. So therefore, likewise, they are misguided. And there are individuals similar like them, and they do not make takfir on anyone from the ummah. And this is wrong. But rather, there are invalidators of al-Islam. And there are things that if a person were to make, there are statements that if a person were to make them, or actions if a person were to do them, he would leave Islam. Ya'adhin billah. After the conditions and the prohibitors have been clarified and everything is known, that ruling will be applied to him specifically. And takfir can be applied to an individual specifically. And many of those individuals who ascribe to Islam today, they have fallen into these affairs. They have fallen into these affairs that invalidate their deen. Along with their statement, La ilaha illallah, that statement will not benefit if a person, he does actions and statements that contradict that and conflict with that and invalidate that. So therefore, likewise, their methodology is false. So they have looked at the evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah with regards to the hope for the mercy of Allah and the promise of the forgiveness of Allah, and they have neglected the verses with regards to the threat of the anger and the punishment of Allah for those who disobey Him. On the other hand, the first group, Al-Khawarij, they did the opposite. They looked at the evidences with regards to the threat of Allah and the fear of the punishment of Allah and the threat of the fire and the anger of Allah for those who disobey Him, and they completely neglected the evidences of mercy and of rahmah and the hope for the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah. So because of this, both of these individuals or both of these groups, they have went astray and they are misguided and they are misled. As for the third group, then they are وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. They are the people of the Sunnah. They are the people of the Sunnah. And their methodology is that they gather the text all together in this issue. So they gather between the texts with regards to the threat of the punishment of the fire and his anger. And likewise they gather between those texts and the text of the promise of the mercy of Allah and his forgiveness. Naam, so they gather between the text of al-wa'ad wal-wa'id, the text of the promise of mercy and forgiveness in paradise. They gather between them with the text with regards to the threat of the punishment of the fire. The text with regards to the punishment of the fire. Likewise, they gather with these between the text of mercy and forgiveness and paradise. So they differentiate between al-kufru al-akbar wal-kufru al-askar. So these people, Ahli Sunnati wal-Jama'ah, may Allah put us upon their way until we die, inwardly and outwardly, they differentiate between major kufr and minor kufr. And likewise, they differentiate between al-shirk al-akbar wa-shirk al-asgar. And also, they clearly mention the difference between major shirk and minor shirk. And they know these affairs, and they have understood these affairs by gathering between the text. They do not look at one aspect of the deen. Rather, they look at all of the aspects in this issue, and they gather between the text in this issue, and in this manner, they arrive to the truth. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. And Allah has guided them to the truth by believing in all of the texts, and by following all of the texts at one time, and making harmony between them, and realizing the truth by following this path. Now, so these are the people, Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, يحكمون بالعلم والعدل. Now they're the ones who rule and they base their judgments with knowledge, with knowledge from the Quran and the Sunnah, with knowledge from the understanding and the athar of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith, and they apply them with justice. So therefore, based upon this, يُنَزِلُونَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, they put every individual and they put all of the people in their proper places. Those who are upright and good, they declare them to be upright and good. Those who are wicked and evil, they declare them to be wicked and evil. Those who are innovators, they say that this person, he's an innovator. The ones who is really a kafir, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, they say this person, he's a kafir. They do not call the one who is a Muslim to be a kafir, nor do they call the one who is a kafir to be a Muslim. And they do not call the one who is, they do not go to extremes likewise and say the one who is an innovator to be a kafir if his innovation is lesser than kufr. And also they do not call a person who is good, who is upright and good, to be wicked and evil whenever it is known from him that he is upright and good, but rather they put everybody in their proper places. And this is what has come in the introduction of Sahih Muslim. في مقدمة صحيح مسلم from the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها. And she said, أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ننزل الناس منازلهم. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has commanded us to put all of the people in their proper places. To put all of the people in their proper places. So it's just like what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned, أهل السنة أعلم الناس بالخالق وأرحمهم بالخلق. Now that the people of the Sunnah, they are the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the Creator, and they are the most merciful of the people to the creation. And also, no doubt about it, أهل السنة هم أبعد الناس عن تكفير المسلمين بغير حق. That they are the furthest people away from declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers without right. Rather, that which has been established in the book and in the Sunnah, and the one who Allah in His book has declared to be a disbeliever, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has declared to be a disbeliever, then the people of the Sunnah, they rule upon that individual as with disbelief. And as for the one who has come clearly from the evidences that this man, he is a mubtadi' and he has fallen into innovation, then they declare him to be an innovator. And likewise, fisq and corruption and evil, like this in the same manner, But they do not transgress the limits, and they rule with knowledge and with justice. Therefore, every believer, it's incumbent upon him to be upon that way, the way that is safe, the way of al-firqa al-najiya, al-ta'ifa al-mansura, the one that, or the way of the successful and the saved sect, the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and there will always remain a group of them from this ummah victorious upon the truth. ظاهرين الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. They will always be upon the truth. There will always be a group from this ummah upon the truth, and no harm will come to them from those who abandon them, nor from those who oppose them, all the way until the command of Allah comes. So therefore, it's incumbent upon every believer to strive to be from that group. This is from the hadith of Thawban, and the hadith is well known. Alhamdulillah. So therefore, this is what a believer he will learn. And he will strive to know to be upon their way, to be upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum, in every affair, in creed and in belief and in worship and in manners and in etiquettes and in contracts, and likewise from that in the affairs of at-takfir and the likes. And we close with that, and inshallah in our next class we begin with the text. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.